Have you ever had any concern regarding helping your children finishing their homeworks? Do you help your children when they make their homeworks? There was this TV show where students were required to submit homeworks for better grades. And there was this husband and wife, so busy couple. They had confusion how they would help their son get their homework done. The wife is a medical doctor and the husband is a police detective. So both of these parents were very busy in their respective career. And the wife challenged the husband, "Why not help our son?" And the husband was reluctant to help in his son's homework, and he protested, "Hindi nga ako gumagawa ng aking homework nung ako'y estudyante," something like that. "I've never done any schoolwork at home when I was a student." Ganun ang kanyang sagot. And I remember when back in my elementary and high school days, I never worked in my homework too. And in the Philippines these days, I don't know if you have read this, lawmakers, congressmen, they proposed in the House of Representatives a no homework policy, no homework policy. And the Department of Education expressed their support. They say that the policy enables a student to find balance between academic development and personal growth by having ample time for enjoyable activities with family, provided that all assignments and projects are completed in school. Well, I observe in my batch that those who have good grades, it helped them get scholarship, but having good grades cannot dictate success, career success. I was in the top three in my high school, but after 5 years of graduating high school, I feel bad that yung mga kaklase ko na nangungopya sa akin, mayroon na silang work. They graduated in college and I did not. And looking back to that, I say, good grades is good. Magkaroon ka ng scholarship. But it doesn't necessarily mean na yun ang magde-decide kung tayo ay magiging, ang isang tao ay magiging successful sa kanyang career. Well, the reason I failed, perhaps because of my pride. I took engineering because it's my pride. Kumbaga, wow, ako lang sa aming batch ang kumuha ng engineering, ang yabang ko, parang ganun. And all of them take another courses, education, secretarial or something, but after graduation, after a few years, they graduated and they have their jobs. The reason I took engineering was that my aunt, who was administrator in NEA, National Irrigation Administration, and Isabella promised me to have a job in engineering, but I failed. But, well, it's God's plan. Perhaps kung nagiging engineer ako, hindi ako nakatayo dito sa inyong harapan for today. For sure, there are some who are gifted in academics, but there are also those who excel in practicalities. Yung mga kaklase ko na nangungopya sa akin, after high school, they went abroad. Punta sila ng Saudi Arabia. Pagbalik nila, nag-start sila ng kanilang business. And they succeeded, and they prospered. Or I, na mayabang, I was there, scholar, trying to enjoy my academics, but nabarkada. There are different paths to success in life. What kind of success do you wish to have? Would you like to have practical success or spiritual success? All of us believers, we are all pilgrims. We are all travelers in this world. We are on our journey going to heaven. In the manner we live on this earth, they are essential parts of our journey that would translate to eternity. Good grades, fame, power, finances, these are spices to appreciate life on earth. But the glorious part of our pilgrimage is when Christ presents us as brothers and sisters before God. Let's read Revelation chapter 3, verse 10. Since you have kept my command to endure patiently, I will also keep you from the hour of trial that is going to come on the world, whole world, to test the inhabitants of the earth. The lesson we are learning from the Word of God is that we may be able to apply it in our lives, whatever career we want to pursue, practical or anything that you wish to support your lifestyle, as long as you apply what you learn from the Word of God, that would be something that you would cherish in eternity. It is, have you ever stand before God, before a judge before? Have you ever had a chance to witness a court hearing? Or have you ever stand before a judge for trial? That would be very terrible time or experience if you would love to watch Judge Judy or any other kind of show similar to that. You can easily see the uncomfortable people who are standing before the judge. But the hour of trial before God is much dreadful because the sentence is eternal. Eternal. But we, genuine believers, we are spared. Praise God for that. Right. We do not need to go in a stand. God will not say, I guess you go, you're waiting eternally, heaven. No, because once we are transformed for all eternity. God look at each person. If he doesn't see the Spirit of Christ in us, automatically you are on the other side. Make sure that you have genuine faith. Make sure that you receive the Spirit of Christ in your life. The Spirit of Christ guarantees that we truly believe. Do not memorize the doctrines for the sake of argumentation or support that you are saved. Doctrines are good, but we need to trust in Christ. We need to know that Christ lives in us. Are you concerned if Jesus Christ comes anytime soon? Kung babalik na yun ang Panginoong Jesus, do you wait for that day? Or are you aware of such a reality? A spiritual reality that believers may experience as pilgrims on earth is represented in the pilgrimage of Jacob. The life of Jacob represents how we believers live our life, how we may experience our life on earth. When Pharaoh asked his age, Jacob described his pilgrimage as difficult after Joseph presented him to the king. Let's read again verse 7. Then Joseph brought his father Jacob in and presented him before Pharaoh. After Jacob blessed Pharaoh, let's stop there. And the English term translated blessed. Many times we think about blessing, like in the Philippines, in our context, you would hold on the hand of the elderly and touch the forehead. That is the sign of asking for blessing for the elderly. But the elderly would bless, asking, intervening, interceding for the person that God would bless the child. That is the manner of blessing. But in here, that the term that it was translated in English, blessed, can also be interpreted as kneeling down. So they interpreted it as blessed, but it can be interpreted as kneel. Now, did Jacob kneel before Pharaoh when Joseph presented him to the king? Possibly. To kneel before Pharaoh, this is a practical exhibit of respect, showing respect to the king. So when we kneel and pray, we kneel to pray, we show respect to God and we bless the Lord. We sing the Lord, bless the Lord, oh my soul. How do you bless the Lord? Bless, the word bless is supreme happiness. So to bless the Lord is to make the Lord extremely happy before us. And so it invites us in Psalms chapter 95, verse 6 to 7. Let's read this. Come, let us bow down in worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture, the flock under His care. This kneeling is also how the manner of blessing the Lord. And it is possible that when Jacob blessed Pharaoh, it was when he knelt before Pharaoh. And we bless God by acknowledging His Lordship. When we acknowledge His Lordship over us, His power, His authority over our lives, we adore Him. When we say, Lord, You created me, we praise Him with that, telling Him, although He knows, but we want to acknowledge that He created us. Thank You for my eternal life. We are recognizing Him, that He is a generous God. We adore Him, we worship Him for His work in us. To think of what He did in our life, remembering what He did in our life when He gave us eternal life, and we say, Lord, I thank You for my eternal life. Do you often thank God for that? How often do you thank God for your eternal life or your life itself, this earthly life? We recognize Him as our Creator. We adore Him. We praise Him. Do you know how they call the people of Thailand? How do they call people of Thailand? Filipinos, natives of the Philippines are called Filipinos or Pinoy. How about Thailand? Thais. The Thailands are called Thais in the Thailandese, like Chinese or Japanese or Koreanese. How about Korean? Korean. I'm just kidding. In 2004, I had got a chance to join the short-term mission. And I observe how they respect God's authorities and elderly people by bowing or kneeling. In Thailand, if you are of the same age and of the same level, if you are both a student, you would bow, put your hand together, almost touching your chin, and bow down together. That's when you are of the same category. Or if you are friends, bowing down together. But if you are going to bow down to God, you put your hand on top, hand together on top of your head, and bow down as low as you can. The lower you can bow down, even if you are kneeling or proning, that is how you express the magnitude of your respect to God. And to authorities, that lady with the crown was crowned, I can't remember, but she's a beauty queen. But when she met her mother was a garbage collector. Look at that. The lady with the crown bowed down low to her mother in respect to the elderly. That is King Bhumibol, the former king of Thailand. And the general came down and bowed down to him very low, very low. And we experienced that. We experienced that when we were in Thailand. We were teachers, and there are also other teachers, and they would, when we are sitting on a chair, they would sit down on the floor. They would sit down on the floor and talk to us. They are teachers. I don't know, but I was very comfortable because the teacher that were sitting on my toe, near my toes, were of my age. Kasing edad ko lang. Hindi naman ako masyadong matanda, kagaya ngayon. And that is how they express their respect. How about believers? Do we still have respect to elderlies or to our authorities or to our God? Some Bible version presented Jacob, even older version. They say that Jacob stood before Pharaoh. And to stand before authorities, this exhibits respect to authorities. Kind like if you were in a court, when you have your citizenship. Remember that day when you have taken oath for your in your citizenship? You were sitting down waiting for the judge. When the judge enter the room, stand up! The officer would say, stand up. And everyone would stand up. Why? That is to respect the authority of the judge who entered the courtroom. Similarly, when Jacob blessed Pharaoh, it can be interpreted that Jacob kneeled, bowed down, or stood before Pharaoh. But the point is, he showed proper respect to Pharaoh. As compared to his sons, when Joseph presented them, they tried to impress Pharaoh. But Jacob showed proper protocol when Joseph presented him to the king. Pharaoh may have easily observed, wow, this older person has a good manner, which prompted him to test Jacob. Verse 8, let's read. Pharaoh asked, how old are you? How old are you? Pharaoh did not say many words when the brothers and father of Joseph were presented to him. He just asked one question each. When his brother were presented, what's your occupation? That was his only question. And when Jacob was presented, he said, how old are you? Perhaps because these are Hebrews, yun lang ang kanyang na-memorize na phrase in Hebrew. And I don't know if that is the case, but Pharaoh has few words. He may have, when he asked Jacob, he may have estimated Jacob about his age. When he looked at him, he might have been thinking, oh, this old man, maybe 80, 90, is very old. But Jacob said, I am 130 years old. So, but when he asked the age of Jacob, why did he ask that? He may be asking the age of Jacob to test the alertness and intellectual disposition of Jacob as an elderly person. But why did he ask the age of Jacob? Why not just ask a different question? He can easily ask Joseph, how old is your father? Or he can easily estimate the age of Jacob by asking Joseph his age. Many times, when you ask people, how old are you? They would not say. Mayroong trick dyan. Ilan kayong magkakapatid? Lima. Pangilan ka? Pangalawa. Ilang taon yung panganay nyo? 50. Eh, yung bonso nyo? 40. So you can estimate in between, di ba? But some people are very close to say, oh, you know, you're estimating how my age, you know. Kaya alam nila yun yung trick na yun. But, well, anyway. Sinong panganay? Pangalawa ko. Yung pangatlo, ilang taon siya? They will know that you are looking for. But that's one way to ask, so that you will not ask directly their age. Well, when Pharaoh asked the age of Jacob, he may have been interested to know where Joseph inherited his extraordinary perception or intuition. You know that Joseph interpreted his the dream of Pharaoh, and it's true. I guess my battery is giving. Well, anyway, the brothers of Joseph did not act with proper behavior or tactfulness when they frankly told Pharaoh that they planned to stay in Egypt for a while, temporarily, while the severe famine lingered on. And they came to Egypt because they were starving in Canaan. And when they say they planned to stay in Egypt for a while, it implied that they wanted to return to Canaan. After all, they did not plan to stay for a long time in Egypt. And it can be interpreted that they cannot completely want to live in Egypt all their life. And they implied before Pharaoh that they love Canaan far better than Egypt. This is something that you may want to consider when you have applied for citizenship in Canada. Do you want to stay in Canada all your life, or no? After I retire, I will go and retire in the Philippines. Marami po sa atin ng ganun pag-iisip. Suffice to say, Pharaoh ignored the brothers of Joseph. But why did Pharaoh ask Jacob's age? Was he curious how much Jacob learned throughout his life on earth? It says in Proverbs 16, verse 31, and Proverbs 20:29. Let's read this together. Gray hair is a crown of splendor, it is attained in the way of righteousness. And Proverbs 28:29, the glory of young men is their strength, gray hair, the splendor of the old. What does that mean, splendor? The glory of the old. And 16:31 says, is attained in the way of righteousness. I was looking at myself mirror. Bakit kaya yung aking uban ay dito lang sa kanan at dito sa kaliwa ay walang masyadong uban? And I was thinking, they say that left brain is the intellectual part and the right brain is the emotional part. Oh, perhaps my intellectual part is not really very righteous, but my emotional part, maybe, I don't know. And then I look at my beard, they are white. Oh, okay. Praise God. God, may God use my mouth to say righteousness. Eh, pinapakita ng uban, kaya huwag nyo nang itago yung uban niyo. It's good. It says, you look at your the mirror and say, look at your gray hair. Oh, the splendor of the old. How about that? Attained in the way of righteousness. Kaya, kabataan, you don't have uban yet. I'm sorry, you need to say, we cannot say that you have attained righteousness yet because wala ka pang uban. How many of you like to have white hair? I like it. I like it. When I was younger, I hope I would have white hair at the age of 50. I'm 55. Meron naman na, unti. But I want to have all white hair. All white hair. It's good. Magandang white. Why? It's white. The scripture teaches that gray hair is practical proof of the dignity of older people in righteousness they have. Now, when Jacob mentioned his age, he also testified about his pilgrimage. Let's read again verse 9 and 10. And Jacob said to Pharaoh, the years of my pilgrimage are 130. My years have been few and difficult, and they do not equal the years of the pilgrimage of my fathers. Then Jacob blessed Pharaoh and went out from his presence. Now, Jacob was 130 years old when he went to Egypt, and he lived 17 years more in Egypt before he died. So he lived 147 years. So if you compute that with the age of Joseph served Pharaoh at the age of 30. And there was abundance for 7 years. He was 37 years old. And after 2 years, his family went to Egypt. So he was 39 years old when Jacob went to Egypt. Jacob was 130 years old when he went to Egypt. So how old was Jacob when Joseph was born? More or less 1991, 92, 93 in that area, right? Mag-compute. So you know how old Jacob was when Joseph was born. Oh, sinong may 90 years old na rito? Pwede pa kayong mag-asawa. Jacob may have already accepted that his life was coming to an end. Why? Well, he did not mention about his future plan. Well, I came to Egypt because I want to start a business here, maybe start a company. No, he did not have any future plan mentioned. And it was proper for Jacob to tell about his age because that was what Pharaoh asked him. But Jacob did perceive, he may have sensed that Pharaoh wanted to know his personal experiences. So Jacob didn't give any specific details, but he testified that his pilgrimage, his life adventures, were difficult as compared to his ancestors. So he testified that, now my life was short and difficult as compared to my ancestors. And Jacob did not say much about his struggles in life before he bowed down as proper respect to Pharaoh and left the court. court of Pharaoh. It was not mentioned if Pharaoh signaled that you can go, he can live, or perhaps Jacob discerned, maybe he waited for quite some few minutes, and when Pharaoh was not asking any more questions, then he might have sensed that it's time for him to go. But listen, Joseph presented his brothers and then his father consecutively, not together. They were his family. He could have, come, I will present you together to Pharaoh. These are my brothers and this is my father. He did not present them together. Why? Why did he present or introduce them together, not together, as a group or as family? Did he show special favor toward his father so that he was presented last? Remember last Tuesday? What happened last Tuesday? Start of NBA season. And the Toronto Raptors eventually received their ring. Did you watch that? And everyone involved in the ring, even the assistant, coach, I guess pati nga yung rapper na si, ano yun, pangalan? Anong pangalan? Hindi ko pala makuha. Drake. I forget him. Hindi ko kasi kilala yun, kaya hindi niya rin ako kilala. He even has his championship ring. Actually, he ordered a different version, so he has two championship rings. And even Bitia ba yun, yung East Indian na, no? Yung sick na fan number. Nabigyan din ng ring. And that was how the Raptors gave ring. And you can also buy yours, replica nga lang. But it's gold, gold-plated. You can go online and buy yourself with your name in. And the number you want, you can also buy online accordingly. I don't know. But during the presentation of the ring, Kyle Lowry, supposed to be the greatest player in the team, received the ring last. He was the last player to receive the ring. And he was also given the honor to signal, to count the unmasking of the championship banner hanging in their home court. So, kumbaga, siya ang pinakasikat sa mga basketball player ng Raptors, and he was given that opportunity to say 5, 4, 3, 2, wala naman. So, the championship ring testifies to the individual contribution. And the banner testifies to the team effort in winning the championship trophy. Similarly, when our season on earth, when the game of life on earth is concluded, will you be rewarded for your individual contribution in the furtherance of God's kingdom? Is there individual reward? There is. Will you receive all the 5 crowns awarded to believers? There are 5 crowns awarded to believers. 1, the imperishable crown. Give me that slide. Let's read this. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24. Everyone who competes in the game goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. That crown is given to those who obey the word of God, the commandments of the Lord, by the law of the Lord. Imperishable crown. The way we live our lifestyle. There was this discussion yesterday among the men in the fellowship. And there was this discussion about if you are saved or not saved. Do you believe in the doctrine of once saved, always saved? Yes. So if you lie, are you still saved? Yes. If you kill a person, are you still saved? Yes. If you, something like that. So Perhaps that person, if he thinks that he was saved, even if he doesn't obey the word of God, the commandments of the Lord, he may not receive that imperishable crown. That is the righteous lifestyle. How you live your lifestyle, righteous live. And the crown of rejoicing, number two, second crown. Let's read this. First Thessalonians 2, verse 9. For what is our hope, our joy, and the crown in which we will glory in the presence of our Lord Jesus when he comes, is it not you? Now, listen carefully. This is the crown of discipleship. If you have discipled somebody, you will receive that crown of rejoicing. What is this crown of rejoicing? Not everyone in heaven will have the same magnitude of rejoicing, because the crown of rejoicing will dictate how much rejoicing you will have. So the more you will disciple somebody, the more rejoicing that you will have. That is the crown of rejoicing. So pay attention to that and pray that God would enable you to find that person he has prepared for you to disciple. It could be that your parents are about to disciple your children or grandchildren, or your office mates, or your classmates. So pray, Lord, I want to disciple somebody, but let me identify that somebody you have prepared for me to disciple. For sure, if you are a genuine believer, God has already prepared one for you to disciple. How would I disciple, Pastor? God would enable you. The spiritual gift you have, that is. If your spiritual gift is in music, maybe your disciple would be in music. If your spiritual gift is in leadership, maybe you will disciple somebody to become a leader. If your spiritual gift is mercy, maybe you can disciple somebody in the hospital. Or if your spiritual gift is giving or generosity, maybe you can disciple somebody to give. So keep praying, identify your spiritual gift, and identify the person God has already prepared for you to be able to have that crown of rejoicing. That crown of rejoicing is one of the best among the five, because I don't know if you have heard that song. I don't like to mention, but it describes somehow the song of Raybould, Thank You. Never mind Raybould, just think about Thank You. Thank you. And I went to heaven, something like that. And somebody came and just say, oh, thank you. Thank you for giving to the Lord. I became a believer because of your giving, something like that. And it shakes me. You may not know. When you give, you are giving something for a person you may not know who would be recipient of your giving. But one day, I hope that God would reveal that recipient to you, and you will have that rejoicing. Number three, crown of righteousness, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 48. Let's read this together. The crown of righteousness which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who long for his appearing. Now that is the crown of righteousness. What is this crown? If you are longing for his appearing, waiting, praying that, Lord, if you would only come today, yun ang aking prayer. May you pray with me that the Lord Jesus would come in our lifetime. I would like to have that once in the history of mankind, who is transformed from alive to glorious life. Hindi ka na mamamatay because babalik ng Panginoon. That would be great. Why? Now, na rapture ka. I hope that you will not be driving a car at the time, or you are not piloting an airplane, unless kung na-rapture ka by that time, your car would just be running without you, or your boat will be running without you, or your plane will be flying without you. You will be raptured. And see, your neighbor, the player who would be mocking you, your classmate who was laughing at you, worse, bullying at you, they were not raptured. And you will be raptured. That crown of righteousness waiting for the appearing of the Lord. Crown of glory. Let's read this together. When the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. What is this crown of glory? Wow. The word glory is a simple description of something that we desire in this life that we cannot explain. What is it? You want to be happy, you want to be famous, you want to have that kind of life, that something perfect life, the glorious life. What is this glory? This is given to leaders. If you lead somebody, if you are given a task and you perform it, but if I go on technicalities, it's more about church leaders or group leaders. The shepherd or the bishop. What is bishop? The ones who would teach, teachers of the Word of God, leading Bible study, kind of like. So when there's a challenge for you, for church leadership, don't look at the task. Look at this crown of glory that is to be given to you. If you go and read through this chapter, 1 Peter chapter 5, you will find out that it's about church leadership. So this is a challenge. I hope I preached this before election, but now after election, you turn down your nomination, and then I tell you, what would you say? Oh, sayang, there is still next time. Now you know. So that next year, when your name will appear in the ballot or in the nomination, you prayerfully say, I will accept because of this. You look for that. This is eternity, friends. Eternity, not just for 5 days. That ring of championship ring of the Toronto Raptors, when they play, they would forget that because they will struggle for the next championship. They would just put it in a box and put it in a safety cabinet or something somewhere. They will forget it. But this crown of glory, it is forever, friends, forever. You will experience. It's time somebody would look at you. Wow, I wish I have that crown. I don't know. But number 5, this is a crown for all believers. It says, do not be afraid. Revelation chapter 2, verse 10, let's read. Do not be afraid what you are about to suffer, I tell you. The devil will put some of you in prison to test you, and you will suffer persecution for 10 days. Be faithful even to the point of death. I will give you the life as victors of crown. This is, we will be tested in our faith. As long as you believe in Christ, you have this crown of life because you will live forever. So don't settle for the crown of life only. There are still 4 that you may want to desire. Lord, I want to have those. I want to have all of those crowns for me. So help me, God. Help me to have those. God would be happy, very glad to enable you to achieve those other crowns aside from the crown of life. Now, when Jacob mentioned about his difficult pilgrimage, he reflect on his unpleasant journey in life, especially during famine. But Joseph during famine provided for them. Let's read again verse 11 and 12. So Joseph settled his father and his brother in Egypt and gave them property in the best part of the land, the district of Ramesses, as Pharaoh directed. This Joseph also provided his father and his brothers and all his father's household. Now Joseph, the brother they maltreated, the brother who was hatefully maltreated, cruelly, and he became the savior of his family and everyone who came to him for help. He provided for his starving family. Instead of vengeance, he provided for them. When it says that he gave the best part of the land, it represents a loving provision, not just some sort of giveaways. Many times we give, I want to buy a new... This is a joke for me, but I kept the microwave oven and the toaster oven second hand that was given to us when we just arrived here in Winnipeg. I can buy one. I want to buy a newer one, but I would like to look at it every day of my life, because it reminds me of the feeling pang second hand lang ang tingin ng nagbigay. That might remind me also not to give second hand if I would give a gift. Diba ganun yun? Oh, sandali lang, marami akong jacket doon. Bigay na ko na yung itong jacket para bibili ako ng bagong jacket sa'yo na ito. Ay, bagong arrive ka na. Bili ka na lang ng bago pagdating ng araw. I keep those second hands because it reminds me that if I were to give, I should give it the best way I can. You know? I'm thankful for sure because ginagamit ko pa rin. Ginagamit pa namin. It saved me actually money not to buy new ones. But yes. But in here, Joseph did not just put them in a condominium or in a housing project of Habitat for Humanities. No. He gave them the best land of Egypt. Best land of Egypt. The district of Ramesses. Ramesses is the name of the next pharaoh. So the district of the pharaoh, where it is perhaps the gated ones, or say everyone desired to be in that area. Such is a picture of God's grace to all sinners who seek His forgiveness. Let's read Hebrews chapter 8, verse 12. For I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sin no more. I thought God is all-knowing. Yes, God is all-knowing, but He decided that He won't remember the sins He forgave. He decided on that. The Lord sent the Spirit of Christ into our life. When we sense the Spirit of Christ in our life, we sense and we remember that God has forgiven us and forgotten our sins, and also to provide us help to overcome temptation. Each time we are tempted to do the same sin, we can ask the Spirit of Christ in us, Lord, help me, I don't like this sin anymore. That if we allow Him to reign in us, when we allow Jesus to reign in our life, we allow His Spirit to lead us in a lifestyle that He wants us to have. The brothers of Joseph, they hated him. They were cruel to him. What did Joseph do? He was generous to them. He settled them the best part of Egypt. Not only that, he also gave them sufficient supply of food. Let's read again verse 12. Joseph also provided his father and brothers and all his father's household with food according to the number of their children. The term according to the number, it implies sufficient provision for all. No one has received more food more than the other. No one has lesser food. Such is a picture of provision of food supply that God has prepared for each believer in heaven for all eternity. Everyone will be having this enough in eternity. So that we will not, buti pa siya kumakain siya ng chicharon. Ano paborito niyang pagkain? No, it's malapit na. Meron nang nagugutom dyan. Mamaya na. Okay, the Lord has eternal provision of food supply so that we won't worry of our life in eternity. Revelation chapter 2 verse 7 says, whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To the one who is victorious, I will give the right to eat from the tree of life which is in the paradise of God. This originally was written to the churches, but to those who have ears, spiritual ears, who can hear it, they will be given the privilege, the right to eat in the tree of life. What is the tree of life? Is it an actual tree? Probably. The fruit of the tree of life is sufficient for eternal nourishment. It seems, if you are thinking about apples, how many of you love to eat apples? Not many. Yeah, there, rain, love to eat apple. But not everyone love to eat apple anymore. Why? Ang daming apple. Mas gusto niyo pa yung kaimito. Yung kaimito dati sa Pilipinas, star apple, pinapakain lang namin sa baboy. Ngayon, we long to eat that star apple that pinapakain sa baboy. In our place, I have a lot of avocado. Pinapakain namin sa baboy dahil yung mga middlemen, masyadong mura ang pagbili nila. So, why not feed them to the pigs? But here, we long to eat those things. And we to think about that, it's similar to the tree of life. Perhaps they think that the tree of life is not so delicious. But have you tasted mangosteen? Have you tasted mangosteen yet?
Yes.
That's very delicious. Kind of like. If you have tasted that, and ano pa yung gusto niyong fruit? Something like that. And mix it all, that is the fruit of life. Fruit of the tree of life. I don't know. But the term life, accordingly, is properly interpreted as both physical and spiritual life. So life on earth, we will be transformed in our physical life gloriously, and we have that, and the spiritual life. So it's not only about spirits. So spirits do not eat similar to what we eat physically. But this tree of life is for physical and spiritual life. And God provides for believers who obey Him. Now, the lifestyle of Joseph, this represents a lifestyle of faithful obedience to God. If Joseph's brother were born in our generation, kung ngayon kaya ipinanganak ang mga kapatid ni sina Joseph, there were 11 of them. So, how would that be? A father would say, I will form a basketball team. Okay? Well, there are 11 of them. And, okay, let's choose 5-5. Merong naiwang isa. Sino ang naiwan? It's Joseph. They don't like Joseph to play with them. Why? Because they look at Joseph, they look at his shoes, air, magic. Magic. Wow, expensive shoes. And the uniform, Toronto Raptors. Wala kami noon. They don't like to play with him. Was it easy to ignore their cruelty toward him? Can you still remember the time when you were bullied in your school? You remember, right? The brothers of Joseph planned to stay temporarily in Egypt. Why? Was it because of guilty feelings? The brother they maltreated, gave them food, not only them, but their families too. Was it because there was famine? Let's read again verse 13. There was no food, however, in the whole region because the famine was severe, both in Egypt and Canaan, wasted away because of the famine. Now, the term famine is not just a simple hunger, but the absence of food supply, so that both human and animal suffered starvation. It was a catastrophic or deadly hunger. No farming, no plant can grow, and no harvest, both in Canaan and Egypt. The only food they have are the food or the food that Joseph stored in their storehouses. But the brothers of Joseph, their father and their families, they have no problem. They have sufficient food supply. They did not worry about their life. Joseph supplied for their needs, while the rest of the world suffered during the 7 years severe famine. The provision that the family of Joseph enjoyed represents the provision God has lavished to all who belong to his family. We belong to the family of God. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 1 to 3, let's read this together. See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. All who have this hope in him purify themselves just as he is pure. Do you hope to be like Jesus? As members of God's family, we've got to be pure just as our Heavenly Father is pure. What does it mean to be pure? We have to get rid of the things that are not acceptable to God. Sinfulness makes us dirty in the eyes of God. But everyone sins. We all sin. What should we do? It says in 1 John chapter 1, verse 8 to 10, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves. The truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar and his word is not in us. But how can we be pure like God? Certainly, we cannot be pure. We cannot purify ourselves. What we can do to be purified is to confess our sins, to admit that we deviated from the will of God, to acknowledge that we did not follow his orders. Can you agree that the confession of sin starts purification work of God in us? God purify us only after we receive his forgiveness, when we ask for forgiveness. If we confess, verse 9, if we confess, he is faithful, he is just, and will forgive us our sin. Why is that just given there? Meaning, he will be justified. He will do what is right. Just how much we confess is the basis for his forgiveness of our sin and purify us from there. Normal human reaction to sin is denial. Sinong gumawa dito? Sinong sumira dito? Hindi ako. Something like that. We don't want to be blamed. That's our reaction. How do you behave when traffic officers intercept you for traffic violation? Kasi sir, yung snow kinover yung traffic light. There was a man who spent more than 50, what is that? Pound, right? 30,000 pound, that is somewhere 50 plus thousand Canadian dollar. And that 100 pounds is about 167, 170 Canadian dollar. And you spend that much, £30,000 or $50,000, on a failed legal battle for justice over a speeding fine. He was speeding, the fine is less than $200. And the court battle extended to 3 years. He spent $50,000, lost his case. Is it worthy? In Canada, there are three options of response to ticket of traffic violation. You pay as the fine indicated in your ticket, admit the offense, but seek reduction of fine or time to pay, or dispute the charge and request a hearing. 2 Sundays ago, I was caught in the wrong turn. My mind was, I was thinking at the time was, kailangan kong bigyan ng reward ang sarili ko, bibili ako ng something. Alam niyo kung saan ako pumunta? Sa liquidation. Iyan ang pang-reward ko sa sarili ko. Liquidation sa Bianca Amor. But pag turn on the left, andyan na yung police. Pagtingin ko, 7 to 22, no left turn. Kita ko naman, pero hindi nag-program sa mind ko because my mind was so focused on the rewarding myself. And my wife and Laika was there and they were observing me if I get mad, but I was just laughing at myself. Why was that? Why did that happen? Well, I was praying that I would not be able to have this traffic violation of all my life of driving, but I had one. I had two. Almost now, and it reminds me when I had the traffic violation, I decided to choose option one and pay the fine indicated in the ticket. I admitted that I violated traffic rules. My admission and payment to the fine indicated, I do not need to argue because I would like to have that to remind me to be careful. Ay, sayang yung 200. Salip na, ibibili ko na lang sana doon sa Walmart, hindi na lang sa liquidation center na cheaper one. Di sayang. And I was laughing at myself. How is that expenditure? Wrong expenditure. I buy cheaper things for me to pay free. I give away 200. Wrong. Anyways, similarly, when we confess our sins, even if God has forgiven us, there could be unavoidable consequences of our action. Any question? The officers told me, nothing, sir. No. But the fine is waiting. And like, God has forgiven each of us. God will forgive us when we commit sin. But the sin we committed, there are practical effects. When we confess our sins, we acknowledge that God's law are righteous and we are in the wrong, that our human effort falls short of the standard of God. That is repentance, that is confession of sin. The commands of God, these are the godly standards of godly lifestyle. We may drive carefully, but still commit mistake. Many of you are very careful in driving, but you miss that black ice and you go to the ditch. Or maybe somebody, you are in a stoplight. I think you are so careful, but somebody at the back is not paying attention. Well, there was snow a while back, and maybe there will be again some kind of untoward incident later. So, we drive carefully, but sometimes we are involved in others' mistakes. But to intentionally repeat the same mistake says no desire to change, right? Running at beating the red light, I missed that. But, it's red light, I will beat that. You continue to do that. That is no change. There's no change. Likewise, when we still commit sin because we are not perfect just yet. But Christ saved us even from the desire to intentionally commit sin. That's for sure. That's the salvation that God had to experience in Christ. You have faith in Christ and say, oh, I want to repeat that sin. It's good. I like it. Now keep asking to help you reject those sin. When we desire to live a righteous lifestyle before God and others, that is when you know that your faith is active. Do you desire that? You know, if you have faith, that your faith is really active when you want to live a lifestyle acceptable to God. Christ's Spirit regenerates and transforms us to live like Christ. So when Christ returns, He will completely transform us into a glorious person like Him, and we won't worry about sin anymore at that time. Christ will make us perfect, pure, and holy. It declares in Revelation chapter 21 and verse 4, let's read this, He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain, for the older of things has passed away. Now during the severe famine, Jacob and his household enjoyed abundance of food supply that Joseph provided for them, while the entire world, ancient world, suffered. That event represents the life of God's family with Him in His eternal heaven. Make sure you accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior. Lord, I still have doubt if you say, think about that. Lord, I want you to confirm that you are in my life, that you are my Lord and Savior. Receive Him as your Lord and Savior and receive the right to become children of God and enter heaven one day. Make sure that Christ's Spirit lives in you to guarantee that you are saved. Lord, I want to sense the presence of your Holy Spirit in me. Let me see and observe the fruit of the Spirit in my life. Ask that. Has the Spirit of Christ produced in your life yet? As pilgrims of this world, we look forward to that day when we meet our Creator. Shall we stand up and bow down our heads and check our heart, check our mind, check our faith? Do I have the desire to live a righteous lifestyle? If you have that, your faith is active. If you hesitate, ask the Lord, Lord, increase my faith. Give me faith to trust in Christ as my Lord and Savior. Do you have the Spirit of Christ in you, the Holy Spirit? Ask the Lord to help you experience more practically the presence of Christ, the Spirit of Christ in you, that He may produce the fruit of the Spirit in your life and experience that. Ask Him. Keep that prayer until you sense that the fruit of the Spirit is growing huge in your life, and that you are assured that even if Christ comes today, tomorrow, 50 years from now, or when He comes, you are assured that you will be transformed like Christ and live with Him in eternity.